As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 165 of Star Wars and Scotch. It's Tim, it's Kevin, and we're here to talk about Bad Batch and all the Star Wars news that's hitting your feed this week. After Tim's secret mission in Uncharted Space that he has returned
from. Yeah, it don't sound like I'm talking on a 1970s telephone.
It sounded to me like you were a caller on some sort of sports radio talk show. That was.
Yeah, I was on AM in the 90s.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was nostalgic, the throwback.
But hated it. I went back and listened to the episode, and I hated it. But we did what we had to do.
Yeah, we had to get that episode out. It was important week in the world of Star Wars.
It was. I mean, it was all right.
Acolyte trailer.
Yeah, no. Okay, the problem about that, though, is that the Acolyte trailer was tainted by all the bullshit. We'll talk about that later, but...
Yeah.
Ruined it.
Immature people.
Ruined it.
We'll get into the Star Wars stuff, but first, don't forget that GCX is only a few months away, so make sure you get your tickets, you're ready. Creator announcements are coming. We'll announce other stuff as it's signed. You got to remember too, like when we start a conversation with a potential exhibitor, it can take months to go from a yes to a signed contract. So while I have yeses, I need signed contracts before I can tell you. So gcxevent.com/tickets. Hotel block is out for everybody. So make sure you go get your hotel. When I checked on Monday, we were getting close to half sold out already. Lot faster than previous
Very
years.
Confident in saying we probably hit half. I had a lot of people in my chat yesterday and the day before saying they were getting their hotel rooms to like that day. So
yeah, and it's Wednesday and Friday's payday, and I won't get another report till Monday. Do the math. We might be over 50% by the time we get to next week. So don't wait. Last year, the hotel did sell out. 2019, the hotel did sell out. Don't be left out. Be a part of the fun. gcxevent.com/tickets. Come meet your favorite content creators, play some video games, hang out, have a good time, spend time with the community. And while you're at GCX, you can drink some delicious King's Coast coffee at kingscoastcoffee.com. Spring Surge is out. It's delicious. I'm drinking it right now.
I'm not.
What?
I'm not.
Actually, no, I lied. This is Winter Waves. I still had one Winter Waves left.
I'm drinking Bowbreaker because I've been on an espresso kick. I've been on an Americano kick.
I can tell.
What does that mean?
Tell you. No, I could just tell you've been, because you, every time we talk, you're like, I'm drinking this espresso, or mostly Bow Breaker. Oh. I think you had Bayman's a few weeks ago.
No.
If I'm not mistaken. Not Bayman's. Countach.
No. I traded out Countach for Bow Breaker. Like, I like Countach. Like, Countach is what we have in the cafe. But Bow Breaker is just like, it's special. It's a really, really, like, I've given it to other people, like coffee snobs, and they're like, this is really good. The crema, coffee, phenomenal. Like,
your coffee palate also changes, like, as you drink it. So what you like for a year may not be what you want to drink next year.
Oh, Bow Breaker's so good. I just, one of my favorites. We were talking about coffee a lot yesterday on stream, too.
Because remember, I was an Aztec stan for
Aztec is a wonderful coffee that you can have at any time of the day. You can have, it's a great breakfast blend. It's something you can have in the afternoon if you're like in the, if it's like chilly out and you're like, I would love a hot cup of something. And it's a great like evening sipper. It really is. Like, I that's how I sell it. I'm like, it's an anytime coffee. So good. And that, the graham cracker note, oh my God. A little bit of chocolate in there, it's like a s'mores in your mouth. KingsCoastCoffee.com.
I just watched the Conan O'Brien skit with his producer where they go to the coffee roastery and Conan is, they're all like tasting it and talking about the notes. And then Conan's like, personally, I enjoy, and he pulls out one of those
shit in it.
Oh, but it was like Cinnamon Toast Crunch creamer. And he's pours it in. He's like, he's like, this is the best cup we've had all day. And he goes, taste this. What notes do you taste?
I hate that so much because, I mean, like, people don't understand. Like, people don't get it when it comes to coffee. Like, a lot of people are used to, like, you know, your traditional just, like, American drive-through coffee experiences. Like, a lot of that's just burnt coffee. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. A lot of it is burnt coffee, and they burn it so that it has a longer shelf life. So you don't know what good coffee tastes like, and that's okay. But let us shake up the way you wake up, and head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com and put some Kings Coast in your cup. You won't regret it. I promise. I know, like, some people are like, the
price. Oh, how can you? The price.
It's like, because it is really, really good coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth it. Check it out.
KingsCoastCoffee.com. Tim, we're, are we just over a month away from April 29th? Will anything be happening on April 29th?
Yeah, we've got, you know, Darkness 49 Day. You know, selfishly, I named that, I gave myself a holiday. And then
it's almost like you're a cult leader.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm not, though. It's a community.
I know.
We do have a Helldiver. Like, we do have Helldivers merch coming out this week. So if you're listening today, Wednesday, March 27th, probably on Friday, we'll have the finalized version of the Helldivers merch. So if you have been watching Helldivers content, you've been enjoying the shenanigans with Kevin, with Ben and B-more and Gunny and all the other guys, check out the Helldivers merch. It's really good. Kevin got to see it. I did show it off on stream.
It's really nice.
Solid.
It's really nice.
If you like me, if you like the Helldivers content, check that out. And then, we'll have more stuff to talk about as we get closer to 429.
Are you doing that? Because I think the image I saw was on a gray palette. Are you doing that on black?
We're going to do it on black. I'm going to put it on it. We're going to do tank top as well. So this tank top I'm actually wearing, I put it on to Amy. I was like, Amy, this is the one we need. So yeah, Helldivers merch. It's going to have we're going to do tank top. We're going to do a hooded shirt. So like a long sleeve, like thin hooded shirt. And then we'll have like a black t-shirt.
Awesome. Yep. I'm in. Those colors on black will pop.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, there you go. 429. Stay tuned. And Friday is the Helldivers merch at Lab 77. So make sure you get your
check it
Helldivers
out.
Merch. Yeah, you should, because Helldivers is the best. It's my game of the year. I tried Dragon's Dogma and didn't click. I'll probably play it off stream, but didn't click.
You know
for
what
me.
Did click for me? Age of Water. Played that yesterday. Age of Water is like Water World, the video game. It's really
I love
cool.
Water World.
Really cool. It's fantastic. It's made by the. It's produced by the or it's published by the same company that did like Enlisted, War Thunder. Gaijin. And so like it's not the same devs that did Enlisted or War Thunder, but it's the same publisher. Really cool. It's like you start off like with like this little dinghy and like you upgrade your boat and you recruit crewmates and their skill trees and you fight like big like jet skis, like the same like jet skis, and they got like the water trail shooting out the back. They've got like gliders that drop like explosive barrels on you and whatnot. April 18th. I'm gonna simp for this game. Like, because I fell in love with it instantly. The water mechanics, it was fantastic. This is on Unreal 5. It's everyone. I went through looking through the reviews when I saw it pop up in Steam, and everyone was like, this is exactly what Skull and Bones should have been. And I was like, I'm sold. Cause like, I wanted to see like what, like that experience would be like. If people are talking about how this like awesome this game is, they're like, I haven't heard of this game until now. And I wish there was marketing cause this game's fantastic. I'm like, I gotta give this thing a shot. It instantly fell in love with it. I don't know what they put in the water, but I just like fell in love with it right away.
So, Age of Water.
Age of Water. Go. There you go. I know it's a Star Wars podcast, but okay, let's be honest. This week's episode wasn't all that great. Okay, I'm just gonna start off and say it now. I was really let down. So I'm gonna use the F word soon. I'm not gonna do it yet, but I'm gonna use the F word. Swear to God.
We'll get there. Dragon's Dogma is a very fun RPG. It has a lot of interesting mechanics that I haven't seen in other games. It just didn't click with me. And people were like, oh, give it 2 or 3 hours. I played for six and it's still never like sunk its hooks into me. And I don't know. The combat is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
The way you traverse the world. I don't care about the microtransaction controversy, just to get that out of the way. I can care less. It's all fluff. It's all stuff you can do in game anyway. I don't really care. It doesn't bother me at all. I'm talking about the core of the game itself. I think if you were a fan of the first one, you're probably freaking out and having the time of your life and putting in 100 hours over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're new to the series, maybe there's an adjustment. I don't know. I'm going to try it offline. I'm definitely not going to stream any more of it, though. So
yeah,
it was a fun little experiment. And it like the pawn system is very interesting. You create your own sidekick, and then that sidekick can go and help other people that are playing Dragon's Dogma. And you can have up to 2 other pawns from other people that have made their own pawns. And it's a very interesting system because you can balance class and level and all this fun stuff. And, you know, if the character that you're using has done your quest or knows of a secret nearby because their main person that the other player played it, they can lead you to the objective, which I thought was a really cool mechanic. But I don't know, the way you get around the world. And I wasn't a fan. It didn't strike. And I thought it was going to be a choice based RPG where it was, you know, like conversations would affect what happened. And it's not. Yeah. And there's like a dragon sickness that if you get it and you ignore it and your pawns and like NPCs that advance the story can die. And then you have to go spend 7 hours getting this resurrection stone to bring them back.
Sounds horrible.
And I'm like, I don't have time for that.
Oh, yeah, no, I see. That sucks. Cause like all of the combat stuff that I saw looked really cool. And like that sold
combat's
me.
Fun.
The that combat and fun. That was all the trailers that I saw was all combat. It looked really neat, but that sucks. Like, to hear the mechanics are just lacking
right out of the gate. I got this this fire. It was like a flamethrower from my hand because I went to played like as a mage, and right out of the gate, I got this insane thing where he just goes like this with his hand, and everything in its path for about 8 seconds just gets absolutely annihilated.
Oh, cool!
And that was my first spell. So the combat, and then you can make like cross archetypes, so you can have a mage that has like warrior skills and like intertwine. So the build is very Skyrim-esque, where it's like, make whatever the hell you want and have fun.
Yeah.
That part of it's great. It's just the way I was interacting with the world, I was not really a fan of.
Makes sense.
And I read an article this morning that enemy types are so, like, there's only like 10.
Oh.
So people are sick of fighting the same wolves, the same goblins, the same harpies, the same ogres. Like,
So. Well, I'm glad that I decided not to stream it.
Yeah, it's probably for the best. So yeah. I'm going to give Plunderstorm a whirl. I played 2 matches that in a while. I wasn't too enthralled, so I'm going to try it with chat. And then back to Helldivers probably because I'm dying not doing the major missions right now and getting my medals.
Well, you should jump in.
It's killing. I don't have time. I wish I did. Plus, I don't love Helldivers by myself. I really like playing with you guys.
Yeah.
Like, that's my enjoyment of the game, so... That's my 2 cents on Helldivers and gaming. Now that we're all caught up on gaming, Hasbro dropped some new figures, which is interesting because I was Tim knows my youngest daughter and how persuasive and pushy she is. So on Sunday, I was car shopping.
Oh.
And I had to promise them that if they were good, I would, you know, take them somewhere, do something for them. And they were good.
You brought
even my wife. So I brought my wife to Chili's because she loves Chili's. Chips and salsa. That was her reward. And Juliet's wanted to go to Target like a basic white woman. And
who doesn't like going to Target? I love Target.
So we went to Target, and I was in the action figure section, and I saw this. It's the new Black Series Holocom collection. So the figures look like they're on Holos.
Oh, so they're like translucent and kind of distorted? Yeah.
If you look at the article I sent you from Hasbro, the new one is the Vader one. It released earlier this week. I saw the Bo-Katan one when I was at Target. So you can essentially, like, if you have a shelf like mine or a shelf like Tim's, you can have a whole line of these Holos. And I don't know. Not my jam. I think the concept's cool, though, for like a really, like a huge collector.
I'm going to be that guy and say, get yourself a resin printer if you really want something like this, and just get a translucent resin and just go to town, guys. Like,
oh yeah, you could do. Yeah, you're right.
I feel like I've seen like some really
what
good.
What would you do for the cape? Like a mesh?
No, that's not. Yeah, no, it'd be acrylic or like, yeah, it'd be a resin.
Oh, you could print the cape like that too. You think?
Yeah, of course. Oh, okay. Kevin, you could do anything with a 3D printer.
I don't know. I just see what you print.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not. I'm. This feels like they sat around a broom and like, what can we do? What's left? Like, I don't know. It's big action figures that look like they're from the Holo screens. Like, I don't know. This is weird. Not for me.
If you keep scrolling, they continue to release Black Series from Heir to the Empire.
Ooh.
So fans are like, oh my God, Heir to the Empire.
There's okay, that's pretty
images.
Sick.
It's
dude,
great.
It's Mara Jade.
We got Mara Jade, who at first I thought was Dr. Aphra at first look.
No. It's Mara Jade. And then Sephiroth is there. And then two versions of Luke.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I like that. Sephiroth looks really good.
Yeah, the lightning hands is good. And then when he's knighting Luke in the dark side and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's a really cool set. Obviously, you don't get two Sephiroth figures, you get one.
Sephiroth, right?
It's an S, I know. So Sephiroth.
Yeah, Sephiroth.
I
right?
read it. I never listened to it. You listened to it.
Yeah, Joris Sephiroth, I'm pretty sure, is how Mark says it.
Sephiroth. Yeah, I read it. I remember when I first read it, I thought it was Kabayoth.
This
was like 20 years ago. And then I was watching a YouTube video when we were covering Ahsoka, and someone was like, Sephiroth, and I was like, what? the retail price on that, it is expensive. It's $100 for
$100.
The four
bucks. Man, I'd rather buy magic cards.
So, and Mara also comes. She has her hooded goggle set.
Her,
you can also swap it out.
She's got the purple lightsaber too. Man.
And her blaster. You can swap her out for her, just her red hair. So
I get so confused whenever they do stuff like this. Like it's neat that they're doing like EU content as action figures, but then like, this makes me feel like they're immortalizing the characters. And then I'm like, are we going to get them?
No, I think they've said on numerous occasions that they acknowledge that Legends exists and that it's part of the history and the stories. So,
you know, but like, what if Kevin?
It's the multiverse, Tim.
God.
If you keep scrolling, what's her name? Morgan Elsbeth's assassin droid, the HK-87,
yeah,
in the old packaging, which is cool. Mandalorian Dark Troopers in the vintage collection.
Oh, this one looks really good. The Clone Trooper and Battle Droid looks really good.
I like where he's sitting on him. Yeah. I know that's just posed, but it's like my favorite pose of him just sitting on it with
totally
the rifle.
You totally see a clone just doing that.
Yep. Does it denote which clone it is? It just says
clone. Yeah, there's no color signification, or no color signage or any way to signify like who that person is. It's just a plain white trooper. If there was like, because I mean, like if they had like pauldrons and a color, like maybe, but yeah, it's very basic clone.
So those are the new Hasbro. I was interested in the Heir to the Empire ones because now I got this beautiful shelf behind me with there was like three empty shelves. And I was like, oh, I could get those. But when I saw the price tag, I was like, not worth.
Also, be careful with your shelves. You'll start amassing a collection. Then you'll have to start rotating things out. And you're like, I don't know which ones to pick. And
Danielle made a good point. She's like, now is the time to buy and build your Lego sets that you yell at me about and have that take up the shelf space instead of buying more knickknacks.
Just don't get anything else.
Also, Tim, though, we get so much stuff for free over the years that that's what half of this stuff is from.
Yep.
I mean, you have, I mean, some of it you bought. You bought a bunch of the, like, the clone trooper helmet stuff you bought, right?
Yeah, but I mean, still, like, I mean, a lot of this, like, the Pelican case that's up here, all of the different consoles.
Warhammer thing.
Yeah, like the Total Warhammer one, Titanfall stuff. Like, yeah, it's, I mean, it's a combination of things.
You have a Chief helmet too, don't you?
Of course. Yeah, it's when we went to Halo, the Halo experience.
I love the AR in that. That was so much fun.
That was a good time.
But yeah, so I'm probably going to, I might do some Lego builds on stream. I feel like that'll be mega therapeutic.
Building stuff on stream, honestly, is a vibe. When I did a Warhammer model build for my Tyranid guys, and that was like, that was super fun.
Okay. I like that. All right. We'll consider it. Star Wars is coming back to theaters May the 4th. Don't get too excited. It's not in many theaters.
People are pissed about that.
I mean, why would they do that?
I don't know. People are really upset. I saw that on Twitter, and people were like, hey, there's no good way to even figure out which theater this is going to be at. And then when you do find the theater it's going to be at, you find out it's like 2 or 3 hours away from where you live.
I think the closest one to us is Disney Springs.
Pass.
I'm not going to Disney to watch Star Wars.
Especially that movie theater. That movie theater is always packed. Like, just always packed.
Which I don't understand. Like, all right, if a new movie, like if Avengers came out and you happen to be at Disney, I understand going to the movies.
I'd rather go to a better movie theater in Orlando. Like, the one there is okay, but it's old. It's been around for a long time.
But people don't drive most of the time when they're in Disney.
No, no. They took a bus from their resort and they're already there for dinner. Like, let's go see a movie.
So... I don't understand. Like, oh, let's spend part of our Disney vacation going to the movies. I don't get it. If you've done that, please let me know your reasoning behind it. Because
it was raining. Like, that was like, that was one of, like, I feel like that was,
there's
one of the reasons.
So many
why.
Things you could do at Disney in the rain.
Not at Disney Springs. If you were already at Disney Springs and you committed to spend some time there, and then it started raining, you're like, I don't know what to do, and I don't want to spend my time in a store for the whole period of rain. You just wait it out in a movie theater.
I'm a poncho person. I don't care. I continue on my day with the poncho. It's my Disney philosophy.
And then he just bitches the entire time while it's raining. I'm wet.
No, I love actually Disney in the rain because usually it's like July and the rain is so wonderful.
No, and then it's muggy and it's gross out and it feels like a
after
swamp.
The rain. Oh. After the rain. Oh. After the rain. During? It's heavenly. But yeah, so... as much as I would like to, and I still can't even figure it out. You watch all 9 movies in a row. So what, do you start at like 9 a.m. and just go all the way through? Or
I thought it was only
individuals?
Episode 1.
No, it's all 9 movies. This includes all 9 episodic films in chronological order.
Oh, God.
I don't know if I could handle people for that long.
No. Pass.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
good.
A marathon. It is a marathon. On May the 4th, 20 hours and 22 minutes.
No, I'm good. I'll do that here at the house if I have time.
Over the course of like multiple days.
Pass.
Yeah, no theaters in Tampa. Let's try Orlando. Oh, it's not even available in Orlando? Tim.
I don't want to go.
Why isn't it available? Disney World.
Because even Disney World doesn't want to be involved in this tomfoolery.
I wonder if it is Fandango that's doing it, not Disney. With
is Lucas, there anything obviously. Special about these iterations of the Star Wars movies, or is it literally just a come to our movie theater and watch Star Wars?
The latter. It's the 25th anniversary of The Phantom Menace. That's it.
But there's nothing that like set it aside from anything else. It's like, it's the same version you could watch on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah. Pass. If you're going, let us know. We're interested to see what your experience is like to sit in a movie theater with other Star Wars nerds for 20 hours. Mm-hmm. I'm actually curious what that experience would be like. Not enough to experience it firsthand, but through you. So if you're doing it, let us know. But I can't even find a theater within Miami. Let's try Miami.
I don't think anyone wants to be... I don't think anyone wants to have guests stay that long in the movie theater. Because, I mean, like, I feel like... I mean, like, how much are they going to charge for the ticket? You're losing money doing this event. There's no way.
Also, too... Nope, nothing in Miami.
Obviously, yeah, the point. Yeah.
Nope, I'm out.
Have fun if you're going to go do that. Have a great time.
You would need to plan meals.
No, I'm good. Nope. All that sounds horrible.
Think how much water you'd have to bring with you. And then you'd have to go to the... No. I'd have to poop in a movie theater? No. No.
Nope.
No. No.
Moving on.
Well, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
All right.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we are back on the subject of ew. Blue milk is coming to a grocery store near you.
Yeah, I don't understand this one either. People were like, are you excited about it? I'm like, I'm lactose intolerant. I can't like have it. So I guess I'll just put blue dot food coloring in almond milk. Like, I'm good.
Can I come over and share your food coloring with my pea milk?
No.
No? You don't want some of my pea milk?
No.
What about my blue pea milk?
Nope.
I tried. So we won't be indulging. I didn't like the blue milk at Galaxy's Edge. It wasn't good. Or the green. I've had both.
I haven't had either.
One has rum, one has vodka. Well, you can get them virgin, but it wasn't good.
I would assume that this is just going to be normal milk with food coloring in it, right?
Yes, it's not alcoholic milk.
I got that part. But like, they're not like adding any flavor to it. Like, it's not going to have like a different flavor profile than normal milk, right?
Describe this vanilla flavored milk tinted with blue food coloring.
So they have added a sweetener to it.
Mm-hmm.
Pass.
I'm out.
What are the calories?
Well,
what are the macros?
Trying to find nutrition facts. Nutrition.
It's probably not worth it.
Facts. Star Wars.
If you really want to, get some Fairlife and then slap some blue food coloring in there.
Let's do it with the pea milk.
And then you're having a healthy option and it's still blue.
Oh, you can make your own. People have all sorts of recipes to make it. Passion fruit juice, coconut milk, pineapple juice, and rice milk.
Nice.
Or you could just, if you really want to get the gay started, you could just throw some blue curacao in your milk and go, you're good to go.
Ew, that's citrus. Like, that's an orange profile. Like, that's ew. Get your orange out of my milk. Oh.
I can't find nutrition facts.
Yeah, so just get some Fairlife, vanilla Fairlife, and just throw blue food coloring in it, and you'll feel better, and it'll still be blue. And you'll get some protein.
According to Nerdist, they liked it. They said it was sweet and had a good flavor too.
Yeah, Kevin. And have you ever gone to a gaming convention where they have G Fuel out on the state, like on the floor? People mm-hmm. are just chugging pre-workout. And yeah, I mean, yes, if it's sweet and it has sugar in it, of course people are like, this is great.
They said it would be. Oh, I found it. 150 calories per serving.
Okay.
2.5 grams of fat.
Not bad.
1.5 grams of saturated fat, no trans fats, 15 milligrams of cholesterol, 120 milligrams of sodium.
A little salty, but
24 grams of carbs, no fiber, 23 grams of sugar, including 12 grams of added sugars, 8 grams of protein.
Yeah, they're adding sweetener to the milk.
But it says vitamin A and D, Tim.
Kevin, I'm not having a nutrition argument with you on stream.
I'm just being devil's advocate because you know I love to do that. When they list out ingredients, it's in the order of the magnitude of each piece, right? It's in, right? Am I wrong in that? What? In the ingredient list?
Like you're talking about in the list?
The first thing is the most of that that's in that item, and then the bottom of it would be the least that's in that item, right?
Yes.
Because the ingredients are low-fat milk, liquid sugar, right out of the gate.
Yeah, so it's milk and then sugar. Like they just
contains less than 1% of natural flavors, carrageenan, guar gum.
Guys, you don't need that shit. Just don't. Please.
Red dye 40. We got red dye 40.
What the fuck is red dye doing in there? Guys, please, for the love of God, do me a favor and just don't do it. Please. If you love me, stay away from the blue milk.
And this is the part where everyone tweets Tim pictures of them drinking blue milk.
Someone's going to just chug it. They're going to chug it out of the parking lot.
Oh, God.
Suck it, Tim.
That made me nauseous thinking about that.
You ever done a milk chug challenge?
I've watched people vomit from trying it. I've never done it.
Like watching a bunch of your friends try to chug a gallon of whole milk in an hour.
For you youngins, that was the Jackass music. Anyway, moving along. This is from Screen Rant. It's taken 25 years, but Star Wars is finally showing the Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan scene we've always wanted to see.
Make out. Never make it out.
How'd you know, Tim?
Yes.
The book Star Wars: A Living Force finally showcases the relationship between Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon as true master and Padawan.
Aww.
Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are shown in perfect tandem, highlighting their exceptional level of trust and seamless teamwork. The Living Force will feature core Jedi Council members on an adventure before the prequels, offering more insight into the character relationships. I'm not going to read the whole article, but The Living Force is coming. Is there a release date? I don't see a release date here. Let's see if there's one elsewhere on the internet. Living Force Star. There we go. Jackson Miller. April 9th. So next week or a week and a half. April 9th.
Is it going to be a book?
Yes, it's a book.
Good, because the High Republic book that came out, you were
horrible.
Right.
Horrible.
You were right. It's a young adult.
I'm actually probably going to just watch the YouTube
video. I want to refund it so badly. I started it and I couldn't get past the first 5 minutes and I was really upset.
Yeah, no, I'm like 4 hours in and it's one of the most boring books I've ever read, so I'm out. I'm glad you share the sentiment. So we'll have something to read in a week and a half. And yay. I'll get back to the Thrawn trilogy that I keep getting interrupted on, because I would really like to wrap that up so I can go to the other Thrawn trilogy. Yay. So yeah, Star Wars: A Living Force, the adventures of Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, which I think would be fun because we've always wanted to know more about that relationship. Amidala's on the cover too, which I found interesting.
Yeah.
So see what happens. All right, Tim, it's time for you to use the F word.
Okay. This one hurts so much because this is the episode that I wanted. This is the episode that I've been talking about. Yeah. We finally get the Ventress episode and it turns out to be a goddamn filler episode. I'm so bummed about this. We went through the Dark Disciple book and, you know, we learned about what happens to Ventress and with Quinlan Vos, and it's so frustrating to go through that. And that's canonical, right?
To my knowledge, it is.
That's yes. Canonical. Okay. So there's two things that happen. We get Ventress and she's introduced. We get this whole thing about M count. So we found out that's who the secret person was at the end of last week's episode.
It is canon confirmed by Lucas.
Okay. All right. Sick. So this opens up a whole nother can of worms. So we know that it was Ventress I want to say Mulan. That's terrible.
Fennec.
Thank you. I was thinking I was going to start calling her by the Ming-Na Wen.
It's the voice actress for Mulan.
It's Mulan. Fair. I just instantly went to Mulan. So Finnick's talking to Ventress. We know that part. So Ventress comes up and she's like, oh, you want to know about M counts? Cool. I really thought she was going to do the whole Qui-Gon thing, like test your blood. No, we do this like weird, like introduction to being a Jedi, like Jedi 101. And it wasn't even good. Like the best part was watching Fennec just kick or Fennec watching Ventress kick the clone's ass. Like that was fun. But outside of that, you didn't give me any insight to what happened to Quinlan. You didn't give me any insight into how the hell she's reanimated. How did she come back? She died. Like we know that she got laid to rest by Quinlan on Dathomir. They also felt like they took a part of the book with the in the water when she was doing the whole thing with Omega, and then the big octopus comes up. That's from the book. It's just Quinlan does that on Dathomir. I don't understand why we had this episode. This episode should have just been if it would have been like a if Ventress is going to be a part of this final season. Why didn't she get a better reintroduction? Like, why was she just thrown in there? And we know her backstory. We know everything that she's gone through. And then she just shows up. She's just there without anything leading up to, like, not giving us any backstory to get us to how she got there. Like, unless next week's episode is going to fill all this in, I'm very disappointed in how they handled this character. And there was 27 minutes to play with, and we didn't get shit.
I know it wasn't like exactly from the way it would look, but that squid totally reminded me of the squid from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh yeah, I mean it's a big squid, but I mean like that was the same thing that like when Quinlan was supposed to like choke the life out of this creature to like you know to get to be more into the dark side. Like that was the whole thing. That was essentially like what she did, except she talked to it instead of choking the life out of it, which is exactly what Quinlan did originally. He was commanding it. He was telling it to let it go, and then he lost control of that. So then he just killed it. And so it just felt like they just pulled material from the book essentially. And I don't know. I was very disappointed.
I didn't like this episode at all. I was really. Well, it's a lot of the same reasons you were with Ventress, but it just felt, it almost felt out of character for Ventress. Granted,
how so?
There was no point in her helping her.
Oh yeah, I agree. 100%. That part, it felt just so out of place. Agreed.
She acted like how do we get from, which by the way, kudos to the viewer that said, Fennec, or the listener that said Fennec was talking to Asajj, because neither of us said that. You had called it out. I believe it was in a YouTube comment. But how did we get from... here's my question. Why would Ventress want to know so bad? Why would Fennec want to tell Ventress? And what was the point if she just showed up, did the thing, and left? Like, I don't understand what Ventress gets out of all of this, knowing that there is a potential Force user. And like you said, the test was really stupid. Like you could have just, I don't know. None of it made sense. I didn't like the episode. I felt like it was a waste of time, and I felt like it was a waste to bring Ventress back under that premise, unless there's a future for her in some other part of Star Wars that we're unaware of.
I think that could have been that introduction or the reintroduction back into the whole like series. I think it should have been handled a lot differently, especially with a character who has that much presence in the overarching story of Clone Wars. She's really important, for the most part. And then as you get even further down the line with that book, like I feel like her importance to the overarching story of Star Wars is there, and like she does play a key role. I don't understand why you would just throw that in, like just almost like a red shirt from Star Wars, like that's like, or from Star Trek. Like there was nothing about her that was like, damn, that was other than the fight scene. The fight scene was phenomenal. I thought that was great. At one point she threw Wrecker into an arm bar, and it was like, it was a good arm bar. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like they threw a little jujitsu in there. And that was neat. But yeah, I mean, like I wish they would have just done the blood test and Ventress would have like laid it out. It would have been a more serious thing. Like it felt very lighthearted. Yeah. Star Wars is for kids. And like, you got to think about who the overall, like, the audience really is. And but at the same time, I think they could have dealt with her differently than just being like this, like,
you might be a Jedi, I don't know.
You know, and that was it. It was just, it was weird. Why didn't she just test her blood? Why didn't she just do the M count test like Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan did with Anakin? I just don't get that.
Especially because
maybe she didn't have a medical bot. Like maybe she didn't have like the thing to test the blood. But come on, it's Star Wars. Everyone has the thing to test the blood. Everyone's got some type of med unit with them.
It's just such a poignant character that we all thought was dead, and I don't understand how that's the way you bring her back. I think that's where I'm going with
it. The only thing that she said was, I have a few more lives. And that was like, she made herself out to seem like a cat. You know, she has 9 lives. But I mean, like, that felt like the only nod to the fact that she died and came back. That was it. And that left me with so many questions of like, well, are you going to tell us how you came back? Is there going to be any nod to the fact that you died?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
I'm lost. As far as storytelling goes, this was poorly executed. I'm not happy with it. And I knew we were going to get some filler episodes. But like when it comes to an introduction of a top character in the overarching story of Clone Wars, like, she's important.
Do you think that she will return for the end of the season to assist them at Tantus?
I don't know. I'm completely lost with her being a part of the show. I don't know.
I think part of the problem too is with, you know, you said it last week too with the fillers and whatnot, but I think part of the problem is we had such a banger of a start for 8 episodes straight.
Oh my God, dude, 7 episodes of just balls to the wall. And then we got last week's episode, and like, that was okay. Like, I got it. We had to come down from being up so high, but like, this should have been a high moment, or at least ramping up to a high moment. And so like, what's like, so then, I mean, so we've got, this is episode 8. So we've got
9.
Well, this is episode 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we've got what? 7 episodes left.
We have 2 next week.
So those I assume important. Are going to be like really important.
Yeah. And then we have 1 episode every week thereafter through to May 1st.
And then after May 1st, is it another double?
No, that's the end.
The finale is a single.
Yeah. Which will probably be a long episode.
I assume it's going to be like a 45 minute episode.
Yeah, it's a series finale. Yeah, so we have 10 and 11 next week, and then 12, 13, 14, 15 are all singles through the month, through till May 1st.
Yeah, I would have expected the introduction of Ventress would have been next week. But maybe we'll get more. Maybe this was just kind of like to give the nod and be like, hey, make sure you tune in next week to get more. But I mean, even the way that this episode ended didn't even make me feel like we were going to continue on with Ventress at all.
No, it feels like she was like that was it, right? Bye.
Yeah, it felt like it was kind of just done.
That's why I was asking, do you think they would call on her? Because we're still waiting for Echo. That seems to be the big thing. So I'm assuming next week is when Echo figures out where Mount Tantus is. Let me look for the episode names, too. That's usually indicative of...
I mean, this episode was also called Harbinger, and I don't know who is being the Harbinger. Is Ventress the Harbinger? Like, the Harbinger of what? What is she harbaging? Like, what is she bringing forth? Like, I felt nothing. I don't understand.
Yeah, Harbinger. Next week is Identity Crisis and Point of No Return. And then Juggernaut into the Breach. That sounds like where it's really going to pick up. Flash Strike and the Cavalry has arrived.
Who did Ventress like introduce? Like, a harbinger is someone who like brings forth someone, or like sets the tone for someone who's coming. And like is she just, was she just the harbinger of being like, hey, the Empire is not to mess around with? I'm so lost. Maybe. But we already knew I don't get it.
She alluded to the fact that, you know, Pabu wasn't going to be safe for much longer.
Yeah, too, but I mean, like, so. I feel like they all kind of knew that, especially when they had like the assassin guys after them.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm definitely at a little lost with this episode and what they're trying to convey.
It was definitely the worst episode of the season.
I'm sure it'll make more sense like when like everything's done. I'm like, oh, like, okay, like, sure. Or maybe it's just one of those tossaways where you're just like, you could totally skip this episode and it wouldn't matter.
Which would suck that that's that Ventress was the tossaway episode. That would suck.
Mm-hmm. Especially with after like I got so invested into her character after Dark Disciple, I was just like, this is cool.
Yeah, I mean, we went on, and again, that was the community. It wasn't really them, but we went on a journey there to.
Well, it, I mean, it was them. They took all of those episodes that were written out and they just slammed it into a book.
I mean, the heightened awareness around like, make sure you check out Dark Disciple.
Yeah, yeah, okay,
the,
yes, I agree.
Three.
A lot of people brought that up. Yes, I agree. And I still think if that book is canonical, it's got to play into this somehow. There's no way in hell that you're not going to make any nods to that. If it's canon and it actually happened, that means she has to acknowledge it at some point. If not, that means that entire book is a throwaway.
She did say she has a few lives left.
And that's the only nod to her being like, I died and came back. Like that was the, if that's the only nod, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Yeah, we were, I mean, we were hoping that Night Sister magic would come into play here.
I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. We know that there was a resurrection event that happened because of Jedi's Fallen Order. So like, was that it? Was it Marin that did it? Like, that would be dope. Like, that would be really cool if somehow like Marin is involved and they like tie her character in. The timeline's close.
Timeline works.
The timeline's close-ish. I'm pretty sure. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but I'm pretty sure though, like the time where we are at right now, it's just kind of all interlinking. Damn near
the
close
only question
to it.
Would be, did Marin leave with Cal already? That's the only, I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know how deep we are into that. I would say no, because Bad Batch, that seems closer to episode 4, and Bad Batch is closer to episode 3, and there is a jump, there's a huge jump there. Because even you said only probably a year or two has passed since Omega got older.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's been a couple years, like, overall.
So even if it's 4 years, Luke and Leia are probably 4 or 5 years old, whereas in Jedi Fallen Order, Cal, how many years after? It's like 10 years after?
No, it's only a couple years
Order 66.
After. It's only a couple
Cal's
years.
Like
a, they're still hunting.
Cal's
There's,
like a kid.
He's Yeah, he was like, he was like, nine, he was like 9 or 10 when that happened, and it was like 5 years after the fact. It was still before... Like Death Star One was still like in under construction and stuff. I think we're all around the same time.
It's 5 years, so yeah, timeline lines up.
It's all damn near close. I mean, like there's still like the Inquisitor program had just started. I mean, it's right around. I mean, it's like we're getting close to Obi-Wan time. We're a little bit. We're like right around there.
He's 13 years old during the Purge. He's 18 during Fallen Order.
So, yeah, so he's five. It's 5 years after the fact. And that's, I mean, and it's got to be close.
I'm Googling it.
Where's Bad Batch at? It's got to be like that's right around like 5 years or so.
BBY.
18 years before the Battle of Endor.
No, that's season one. That doesn't make any sense.
It was 2 years. It's 2 years after episode 3. Because in episode 3.
The events of season 3 take, yeah, battle before.
Isn't episode 3 like 20 years before episode 4?
Yeah, so this is, according to this, it's only a year after Order 66 where we're at in season 3.
Really? I felt like it was a little bit more time. I guess.
So did I.
I mean, I guess like the destruction of Kamino and all that stuff happened so fast.
Regardless, that means Marin is definitely on.
Yeah, but that means the resurrection event that she did, that spell that she placed when she attacked Cal, like that didn't happen then. It's before that.
That also created zombies. We don't know if they have the ability to bring sisters back, like, wholly.
They were zombies because of all the decay and everything. They'd been in those pods for a while since because that happened when General Grievous was there and did the genocide of that was like episode 2 time.
Yeah, but they were like mindless zombies like the stormtroopers in Ahsoka.
That's what I'm saying, but I mean like I don't like
Can a Night Sister, like, do they have magic strong enough to bring them back whole? Ventress?
I don't know. This is why I don't want, like, I wish someone would just explain it to me. I hate all the what ifs or I don't knows. Let's just try to theory craft it. Just give me a goddamn explanation.
Make it make sense. Well, on that note, we're going to go be confused in our everyday life and continue on. But thank you for listening to episode 165 of Star Wars and Scotch. You should go check out Timmy's Darkness429 everywhere. YouTube.com/Darkness429, Twitch.tv/Darkness429, TikTok.com/Darkness429.
Thanks, Kevin.
And
just Darkness429 everywhere.
Just throwing slashes everywhere. But you should, yeah, go check out Tim. Say hello. Drop a sub. And
you won't hear me bitching about women or other alien races being involved in any Star Wars content. Like, I guarantee you won't hear that out of me. Ever.
No.
I call those people toxic.
Also, the show's called Acolyte, and the only acolytes in all of Star Wars Legends were Sith. I just wanted to point that out. And I'm KMagic101, Kevin Exhibition on Twitter, KMagic101 everywhere else, twitch.tv/KMagic101. I'm on YouTube too. You can come say hi over there as well.
Livespace. Where else do you stream at?
Did you say MySpace or Livespace? I totally sounded like you said MySpace.
Yeah, dude. You can listen to Kevin jam out over at MySpace.com/.
If Tom came back, he would totally start a live stream or kick up live streaming on MySpace, and I would go back and I'd be like, here's my top, what was it, your top eight
top
back
eight,
in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you'd fluctuate them based on who you were mad at that week. It was great. Good times.
The girl you're crushing on was always like number two.
Yeah, you can't make them number one. No, then they like know too much.
That's like your ride or dies in the number one slot.
Yeah, you can't make it. You can't. Bros before hoes, right, Tim? can you still say that?
I don't think you can. I don't think in 2024 you can, but it's all right. We'll bleep that out, maybe. Or we'll leave it in there. I don't know. Maybe people are into that still. Who knows?
My wife said it to me like 3 days ago, like, and high-fived me as we were walking through the hallway. So she said it, not me. We are Star Wars and Scotch, or Star Wars Scotch. Everyone on the internet, rate, review, subscribe. We appreciate it. We got a few more episodes of Bad Batch, a little bit, like a month break, and then we're into Acolyte. And then Skeleton Crew later this year. So it's going to be a pretty fun year for TV shows and a good time. So make sure you rate, review, subscribe. Head over there. Follow all the things. Do all the things. Darkness429, KMagic101. Tim, take them away.
May the Force be with you.
Always. Always. Indeed, always.
Or don't.
Or not.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed, when I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.